Thanks to Green Chef, a USDA-certified organic company, for supporting the Morning Stream. Go to greenchef.us/TMS to get $50 off your first box of paleo, vegan, vegetarian, or pescatarian, even Mediterranean, heart smart, lean and clean, keto, gluten-free, and omnivore Green Chef meals. Coming up on TMS, sweet oil, man.
Thank autopilot you're alive.
Your pink sauce has a bad name.
The king wants to feed you in traffic.
I think your shirt smells something bad.
Major spoilers.
The Trek Nerd and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Have you seen anything strange going on around here?
Well, if bandits taking over my cousin's farm is strange, yes.
I got a skate mark in my underwear now.
The Morning Stream. It's high noon.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the TMS show. That's right, The Morning Stream. It's Monday, May 20th. It's 5:20, man.
5:20.
Blaze down, or was it whatever 5:20 is? What do you do with 5:20?
I don't know if there is a thing for 5:20. There should be, right? Like
everything 20 should have something going on.
Oh, like the Ides, right? Like, yeah. So your Ides are your 15s, and then your toke ups are your 20s.
Are your 20s, yep. Everybody smokes on the 20s. That's an important thing to note, because today I got something to tell you about a, let's see, yeah. Let's call this a ancillary, cannabis-related story today, yes.
Yes.
Cannabis right. Adjacent, how about that? Adjacent, yeah. I like that word, adjacent.
Oh, what's in, what do I have in this baggie right here, Scott? What's that?
Those look like some powerful gummy bears. Yeah. We'll get to that in a minute. We're going to talk about all kinds of stuff today. Oh, it's the 20th. Did I say it was the 20th? I did, because we made a big deal out of it.
Yes.
And it's a nice day. It's a lovely day. It's 9:08 in the morning time zone. It's Monday, and we're doing a show. Doing a whole new week.
A whole new week.
Yes. Hey, right. You know what? That's funny you brought that up. I've been hearing that Aladdin movie's not so bad.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't want to hear that.
Yeah, like I'm hearing it's good, like maybe good. Let's see. Where did I read this? So they blame just horrible trailer edits, but that the film itself is pretty good. And I realize that's a tall order. I mean, I'm not going to try to sell you on this, but you know, it could be terrible. But few people who have seen previews are like, or seen, you know, advanced screenings, are like, whoa, this thing is
not so bad, huh? Yeah. Well, yeah, it comes out 24th, so it comes out, what, Friday?
Yeah, I think so.
And Sword and Laser has that in the draft. They also had The Wick.
Oh, they had the John Wick?
Wick 3, yeah. And The Wick 3 got some of my money this weekend.
Mine as well.
As it did yours, I could see from your tweets.
I did an IMAX viewing, and here's the best part of that.
Oh, nice.
We only had to pay, because we have a point system for the theaters here. So you go often enough and you build up all these points, and we never spend them. We just forget that we have them. And we were able to see that movie, two of us, in IMAX, plus a giant tub of popcorn and two big drink things, all of that for $6 total.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Jeez.
It's like the 40s in there, man. It was great. So anyway, what'd you think of the John Wick 3?
I thought it was all right. I was reminded that... you know how I said I wasn't sure if I'd seen John Wick 2?
Yeah.
I know I'd seen one.
Yeah.
I knew about the whole dog thing.
Did you miss 2?
I think I missed 2. I thought I saw 2, and Tina was sure we'd seen 2.
Yeah.
And she walked out of that thing saying, I never need to see another John Wick movie. she gets, you know the old joke they consistently use on Family Guy, which is Peter and the guy in the chicken suit fighting... For what, you know, feels like it goes on forever, but they always incorporate new things into it.
Sure.
That she gets fed up with that after like 60 seconds as well. Mm-hmm. But I thought let's be honest, it is a it is some very creative and clever fights strung together with a story that I kind of would have liked a little bit more. I agree with it that there's some world building, but I don't know. I enjoyed it. I like horses. I like I like books. I like dogs.
You like a couple dogs, sure. You like Halle Berry in one of her best roles ever, in my opinion. She actually acted in this, which I thought was all
she
right.
She did act, yeah. And she didn't ask us the question, what happens to a toad when it gets struck by lightning? No. So that's good. I'm glad we didn't get
that. That's in the plus column for sure. Part of this is I saw, I think two is important to three. I think you have to see two.
Yeah, I think so. Because one just sets up, oh, he's pissed off. His dog, you know, the situation with his dog getting killed, and he wants revenge and all that.
Yeah.
I hear two does a lot more of the world building that you need for three with the whole Ian McShane and...
All that stuff makes not only more sense, but it's all introduced in two, and then him going incognito or whatever the hell they call it. Whatever it is. Excommunicado. I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
Something like that. But anyway, for him going, him entering that, that's how the old one, that's how two ends, is that timer starts ticking.
Do we get Angelica Houston in two as well?
No,
is that
she's
thing set up?
She's three only. I liked her role quite a bit. But in two, they have similar things, like there'll be a bunch of texture with a new character set up, and then that character's either dead or they move on to whatever. Like the whole thing with Morpheus, that's all about two. Like two, you need two to understand stuff.
I needed that because who's Bird Guy? I like Bird Guy.
Yeah, Bird Guy's awesome.
Bird Guy. Yeah. Seven swipes for Bird Guy.
Seven swipes. That's when you know people like you on it needs to be seven swipes right.
Tinder.
Yeah. Seven swipes right.
So I know I'm going to have to watch John Wick 2. There's no way that I'm going to get Tina to watch it with me. So I'm basically, that's one where I've got to, and it's not streaming anywhere. I've got to get it either rented or get a hookup or something, but we'll figure it out.
That movie's great. They're all good. Look, I know they're not for everybody for sure. Like there's no way they're for everybody, but they are absolutely for me. I love them. So, and I really like 3. The only complaint I have about 3 is I think I'm not going to spoil it here, but the ending.
Yeah,
is all fine except for the actual. Well, this doesn't give anything away. There's a fall involved.
Yes,
that would kill anyone.
Well, we've already seen throughout the whole rest of the movie, the indestructibility of humanity. Apparently,
I agree with you. I agree with you. But that felt like a bridge so far that I was like, no, wait a minute. Like, really, we're gonna be okay after that, but outside of that, I really enjoy these. They're, to me, it's like a little ridiculous comic book subgenre kind of movie, and I really enjoy it. It's doing well on Rotten Tomatoes, 88%, 92%.
We'll talk about it more with Steven, but it is unseated Avengers Endgame.
Yeah, which I guess Pokemon Detective Pikachu did a little bit last weekend, just barely edged it out.
Oh, did it really surpass?
I think so. And then Avengers was back on top again, and then now this beat it. But now Avengers is in second place. How long has this been out since? When did we go to Vegas? That was a long time ago.
Yeah, I know. It was almost a month ago, yeah.
Yeah, and it's still number two, but that's good for us is what I'm saying, because you and I are going to win this damn thing for sure. Anyway,
all I know is when I go to the bar, I like to sit at the high table.
Yeah. Like always at the high table. Don't do it under the table ever.
No.
Did you see that Westworld guy was in there? There's a Westworld guy. Do you notice him? He was the dude, the high table guy in the tent there.
Yeah,
he's at Westworld.
I also noticed the penguin from Gotham.
Yeah.
Robin Lord Taylor was working the switchboard, working dispatch.
Yeah. Yeah. Working dispatch. Looking like all the ladies that are around him. With their their tats and their whatnot.
Their
that's how
and
Carter wants to do. She wants to cosplay as the adjudicator.
That's the world I want to know more about. And are you saying we get more of that in two?
They set it up. Clearly, they're moving toward four, whatever four is going to be. But that adjudicator lady with the short hair, Carter looks just like her. She's going to cosplay as her. That's what we're
going to do. Easy enough.
Yeah.
She's going to get that long dangly earring.
Yeah.
And,
get a little fake tattoo on her neck. Although I guess that's a real tattoo for the girl in the thing. But anyway, it was great. I liked it a lot. And if you're Tina and others, probably not your thing.
Yeah. I'm, Chad Stahelski, director. He definitely has some John Woo inspiration.
Oh, yeah. That guy? Yeah. Hell yeah. Well, if he doesn't, he should. Although he doesn't use slow motion at all. So I don't know if it's John Woo.
Although he does use flapping, slowly flapping birds. Yeah. Like,
there's lots of birds, just not slowly flapping birds. Slowly Flapping Bird is my failed iOS game. Didn't go well.
That was such a bad iOS game. Yeah. It just drags along the ground and hits the first barrier.
So slowly flapping. It's really hard to do. Anyway, the adjudicator lady's in Orange is the New Black. She's also in Billions, which I haven't seen.
No, wait. She's in Orange is the New Black. Who, really?
She's super bald in Orange.
Oh, Asia Kate Dillon. Okay.
Yeah.
Brandi Epps.
She's pretty interesting.
She is.
She's interesting to watch. I liked it. Go see it. If you like action movies and just over-the-top, stupid, fun, that's what John Wick is for me. And I think Keanu Reeves is just the charmingest guy in the history of ever, so go for it.
Yeah.
I can't put my finger on it, neither can he now. That's not a spoiler at all. Hey, and we're not going to talk about.
Just as you say it is.
We're not going to say anything about Game of Thrones because that's just asking for it. But I will say I really enjoyed the end and loved that show, and I miss it already. And I hate that we'll now live in a post. I know there's prequels and sequels and spinoffs coming.
Sure.
One of which they hint at, I think.
Yes, I know. Yeah.
I guess.
The further
I don't know.
Adventures of
Have they said that out loud, or is that?
No. All right. No, but that seems to be the big assumption. Yeah, I enjoyed it as well. I said this about the previous episode. They managed to, they basically went in a direction that I didn't see coming as far as the resolution of the previous episode. I knew one thing had to happen, but I didn't know. I can honestly say, this is not a spoiler again, I didn't know who was going to sit on the throne. The person I was expecting was not the person who ended up.
Oh yeah, right. Who wins the Game of Thrones is not what I expected either. No.
Yes.
Nor did I know what the I can't say that.
Yeah.
But I will. I mean, I know there's a lot of, you know, people have been weird about this for weeks. I don't have anything to say bad. In fact, I'll bet you 7 and 8 are really good binges. They were complained about in both cases as being short and the pacing was crazy and all of that. But I think that if you get to not wait every week for it and just watch that whole thing through, I'll bet it's I'll bet that's a tighter experience. And besides, let's look at it this way. This was truly a phenomenal thing. Like, TV had never quite pulled something like this off before. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So even on that level, even if you're like, I didn't really like the last season, fine. You can't ignore the fact that this thing was just this monster for...
It was a juggernaut.
Almost 10 years, which is just crazy. And then, one of the characters bought the expansion. There you go. Does that make sense? Is that a little hint for you? Somebody bought the expansion and is going to go to the new continent. I didn't give anything away, did I?
No, I like that. I think it's well done. Right. We now have some DRM coming.
Yeah, there's some DRM. Not DRM.
Not DRM. DLC.
DLC. I hope there's no DRM coming. That'd be bad. But yeah.
And now Benioff and Weiss are holed up somewhere in a hotel for who knows how long, avoiding...
That's
all
true.
Social media.
I bet they are. And they're done,
right? The petition is up to 1 million people, by the way. The petition hit 1 million.
Great. I'm sure it'll all work out in their favor. 100% positive that if you sign that thing, you're going to get exactly what you want. And when I say that, I mean that in the opposite. You're not going to get anything you want. So enjoy.
Yeah. I say, anybody who's disappointed, and I know that, and it's totally within your right to be disappointed. It's totally fine.
Of course. Be disappointed.
Everybody can't like everything. Totally fine. Channel that anger into writing your own masterpiece. Like, channel that into saying, that wasn't the story I want. You know what? Write the story you want.
Yeah, or get the fanfic going.
Well, okay, you could do that. I mean, I guess you could do that and have the next Twilight, right? Because
Twilight.
Fifty Shades of Grey.
Yeah, Fifty Shades of Grey was Twilight fanfic. You're right.
Right.
Yeah, so if you want to have the next grotesquely stupid sexual crap movie franchise, make a fan fiction.
Make your own 50 Shades of Greyjoy, and I know that joke has been made, but...
It has. In fact, I made a poster of it.
You did the artwork, exactly.
50 different heads of Theon Greyjoy in different colors. Get it? 50 Shades of Grey? Get it? Greyjoy, rather. Anyway, and also I just got to give, this is a tweet I did earlier, but I got to say it again. I got to give Hodor credit for Raisin Bran.
Ba-da-bump.
Raisin Bran.
Yes, yes.
All right. All right. Yeah. Mark this day down, the day you heard that horrendous joke. Is the day
two scoops of laughter in that one.
See, that's good too. I like that. All right. I have to make an admission. This isn't really an admission. So we wanted to see what the big deal is about CBD oil. Everyone's all sure. The rage and the talk. Even our own Nicole's like, it solved my back problems or whatever. Everyone acts like it's sort of a cure all for everything, but apparently it's squeezed out of the hemp. Of weed.
It's a can. What is it? CBD is cannabinoid.
Bartholomew doily.
That's what it is exactly. Basically, it's all the fun of the marijuana without the psychotropic effects and the addiction or whatever. Like basically, it's marijuana without the drugs.
Right. Well, there's no. Well, I don't know. We're gonna get emails for that because I guess it's. Whether pot is addictive or not is not a thing, right? Chat room?
Right.
I don't know how it works. Anyway, I'm new to this whole business. I have zero experience with anything related to and with weed. And so we thought, hey, let's try some of this stuff. And by the way, CBD oil, like this, the stuff, is not cheap. It is redonkulous.
It is.
Yeah. I don't know why that is. It sounds like it's just because we're early in this and everyone's taking advantage of it, or maybe it's because it's hard to squeeze oil out of a bunch of these hemp plant things.
I've got nipples. Can you oil me?
Yeah, it's stupid expensive. But anyway, this has a little THC in it, but not much.
Oh, does it really?
Yeah.
I didn't think it did.
It has a little. It has says on there contains less than or equal to some percent. It's a tiny percent.
1/10 of a percent or something.
Yeah. 0.1%. And I think it's because it's so concentrated. Anyway, we decided to just try this. So we get it. And I tried it. And it wasn't. I tried it before bed. It doesn't make you tired at all. It just kind of chills you out. Mm-hmm. You're just kind of like, hey, check it out. I'm having a good night now. What's nothing stressing me out? What's going on, you guys? Like, it's not.
Doesn't make you loopy, but it does. And I was curious if that was a placebo effect, right? If you're like looking for the chill and you find the chill, even though maybe it's not necessarily giving you the chill, but you're making the chill up
in your head.
You're making the chill. Yeah, exactly.
Still possible. I don't know. Like, I have zero control. Study going on here or anything. I basically just thought, well, let's give it a shot. It says take half a dropper under your tongue, hold it there for 30 seconds, swallow it. Oh, by the way, have you ever turned a lawnmower upside down and looked at the blades?
Yeah, that's what it tastes like.
If you take a knife and scrape that off and then eat that off the knife, that's what this tastes like.
Yes. I tried the oil. I get that little tincture from the free sample place up in up at the Flatiron Crossing Mall and said, I don't think I'm going to get that.
Yeah.
But these gummies, and it's funny, this baggie of gummies traveled with me to Vegas. I didn't have any in Vegas, and I thought I'd do some, you know, before the jump or before a live event or something. Never had any.
Yeah, never needed
smuggled,
to.
Smuggled, not really smuggling since far worse stuff is now legal in Vegas, but it does seem to chill me out. Again, I don't know if it's CBD effect, but the gummies are the way to go, I think, for me.
Well, these we can't, and I think do those have just CBD, or those have THC in them? Or?
They're made with CBD oil, so whatever percentage THC.
Oh, okay. Because I know they're different. They vary, right? Like there's some that are super potent and careful. You should only eat like the head of the bear or whatever, and then there's some that are. A little closer to what this oil is, I guess. But anyway, chilled me out, just made me chill. And it's legal here. CBD is legal in Utah, so it's just the pot business that's not, full-blown marijuana stuff.
Right.
But we just passed our medical marijuana thing, although our local legislature is sure trying hard to change it before it goes into law, because that's how democracy works. Put a bill up, everyone votes for it, it goes through, and they're like, oh, shit, it went through. We should tweak it and make it different. No, we know what we voted for. Put it in. Put in the thing we voted for. Right. What are you doing?
Right.
Utah legislature? All right. Anyway, that's a thing. Yeah. I wanted to read something that a listener sent in. I actually was supposed to do this on TMSPM, and I forgot.
No.
Because I never do these on TMSPM, so I spaced it. Kind of like how sometimes I forget the song. It's that kind of problem.
So you know what else you sometimes space on TMSPM?
Yep, yep. I did that again, too, although the new ones, it's reposted, so everyone should get it now. But anyway, Kurt wrote in and says, 15th anniversary surprise. Do you know how hard it is to come up with a surprise anniversary gift after being married for 15 years? I know some of you do. I introduced my wonderful wife, Michelle, to the morning stream at about 2013 when we would commute into our jobs and listen to the podcast. We've had some great and funny conversations about topics that normally would never come up, but through the randomness of TMS, they did and still do. We let TMS become part of our regular day during our commutes. When we were in Washington, D.C., and it's continued through our relocation to New Orleans and now St. Paul, Minnesota. So, surprise, Michelle! Happy 15th anniversary from your loving husband, Kurt.
Nice. That's, well done.
Isn't that nice? It's very nice.
That is nice.
Yeah, yeah. So we'll give you
this. I hope you're giving her a gift as well. I mean,
yeah, do more than just this.
Wishing her happy 15th anniversary on a podcast is great, but you get her something nice, too. Come on now.
Yeah, and I mean,
I hear those Pandora bracelets are super nice.
Sure. What's 15th? What do you do for that? 15th anniversary.
15th anniversary is a virtual boy.
Ah, perfect.
According to Hallmark.
Nailed it. Oh, it's crystal. Something with crystal, it says.
Okay.
Because you know how everything's...
Buy her some crystal meth and you're set.
Yeah, that's pretty cheap. You can get a baggie of that for...
Yeah.
Just don't get the good stuff. Don't get the blue stuff. You'll be fine. A VR headset. That's awesome. I wouldn't do that. But yes, crystals is what you got to get. Something made out of crystal for your wonderful wife, Michelle. And congrats,
crystal
you guys.
Burgers. 15. I guess New Orleans, you probably had crystal burgers, but not in St. Paul, Minnesota.
Crystal burgers? Oh, yeah. They were like crystal White Castle. Burgers. Yeah.
Yeah. In the South.
They weren't great.
Neither are White Castle. So
you're right. You're right. None of that is good.
It's an apt comparison.
Yeah. I feel like in both those cases, people only like them because they have some nostalgia for being like a teenager and running a White Castle or whatever, because they're really not good now. They're not good.
No.
I had one in Vegas. It's bad. Bad.
Yeah, right. Did you really?
Ooh. Yeah. Well, not this last trip, but trip before that, whenever that was. Yeah. All right. Well, that's all we got there. Should we see if Dunaway's in town?
Let's see if he's, let's just hit or miss. I guess maybe that's the new audience game is, will Brian be there?
Mm-hmm. Will he be there?
Will we have a Dunaway?
Find out next on this here deal. All right, we should. Okay, where's my... I'm missing my... Oh, there it is.
I don't know.
Sorry, this is all very strange, the way the Hangouts work. Dunaway, you there?
I am here.
Oh, he's good. Oh, yay, he's back. Oh, yay. He's here. All right, we're going to do...
Oh, hi, Scott and Brian.
Let me play your song.
Oh, hi, Brian Dunaway.
Hold on just a second. Ooh, that's perfect timing. I'm going to answer that while this happens. Okay, I'm going to hang up on that one. Cancel. Okay. Hey, Brian Dunaway, what's going on, buddy?
Oh, hey, Scott Johnson. I don't know. Just hanging out with you guys.
That's fantastic.
How's it been? Having you doing good? Yeah. That's good to hear.
We saw you on Saturday. Yeah. We're glad you're doing all right. And, a bit of a family thing going on over your direction. But I'm glad everybody's doing okay and moving around and getting stuff done. And, it's hard.
That's right.
It's
family, family things remind you what's important. Family.
Family.
And spending time together.
And family things. All right. We got a caller on the line already. Hi. Good morning. Who's this?
Hi, it's Logan's mom.
Oh, sorry. Oh, this sounds like did you say Leslie Logan's mom?
Hello.
Hello. Oop, can you hear us now?
Can you hear us? Oh, she went under a tunnel or something.
Under a tunnel. That's interesting.
I'm gonna tunnel this tunnel. I lost her.
Let's see if this is probably her again.
Hi, who's this? Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Ah, there we go.
Are you back?
Did it work? I'm back.
Okay, cool. It's better now. Good. Yeah, it sounds like you were in a weird place last time, but now you sound fine. Say your name again.
It's Leslie, Logan's mom.
Ah, it is who I thought
it was.
There
we go. Yep, right. That's who we thought. Okay, good.
Very nice. Nice to see you, Leslie. So we are going to play a little bit of a game. I know you know how it works, but it doesn't matter. We're making Brian explain it anyway. Brian Ibbett, explain.
Oh, if I have to. Leslie, I'm going to give Scott and Brian a topic. They're going to go back and forth giving answers for that topic. If one of them gives a wrong answer, they repeat an answer, or they hem and haw and procrastinate and take too long to come up with an answer. The win is going to go to the other player. Your job is to predict who is going to come out on top based on the topic. Today, you are playing for the carryover prizes from last week, including three games from Steam, Terraria, Lara Croft and the Guardian of Light, and Orcs Must Die. Plus, you're going to get a brand new trade paperback edition of Kingdom Come from Sean from Vermont, and some random Scott prints and a Viva TMS Vegas 2019 challenge coin.
Which I know you already have. She already has one of those, I think. But, yeah. But you,
well,
you'll find a happy home for it, right?
You could challenge is to have two of them. I bet Logan would love a challenge.
You have two thumbs, right?
My mom would love it.
Oh,
my mom would love to have one.
All right. We'll give you one for your mom then.
We gave a message to
your mom. Her birthday is tomorrow, yes.
Oh, that's perfect. Real quick here, just an additional shout out to Sean from Vermont. He sent a big stack of really great graphic novel compilations of various types. We'll give those away over time, but starting today with Kingdom Come, one of the greatest comic books ever written.
Yeah.
There you go. All right.
Good stuff.
Tell us our topic, Brian.
Your topic today comes to us from Steve Northrup, who says, this is Ninja Steve from the Tadpool. I have a suggestion. From 1972 to 1974, Hanna-Barbera produced a series that aired on CBS called The New Scooby-Doo Movies. This series introduced a popular trope to the Scooby-Doo franchise. Each episode featured a special celebrity guest star appearance. Could have been one person or a group of people.
Okay.
During its original 31-episode run, who were these guest stars? Well, there's Ninja Steve in the chat room. So 31 episodes, however, only 18 unique guest stars or groups of guest stars.
Wait, what show is this? Which show?
The New Scooby-Doo Movies.
Movies. Right. Yeah, between 72 and 74, you said.
I was thinking the show, and if it was the show, then I wouldn't even know where to start. But the movies, maybe I can pull off.
Yeah, I mean, these were Scooby-Doo. There were TV shows.
There were TV shows that were just longer than the average.
Right.
Were they hour long?
Well, that's what I mean. So these were different, though, than the regular series, though, right?
Correct.
These weren't Scooby-Doo, Where Are You? All right, Leslie, so knowing that that's the category and seeing how confused one of your players is by the concept, who do you think is going to win and who's going to come out on top?
Well, I think Brian's going to win. And Scott can start.
Okay. I think that is a really smart choice that you've made.
This could be one and done. We'll see how this goes.
I love these because I didn't watch them back when they first came out, but they aired them later on Saturday morning TV, and I used to always find these fun. Of course, I like the Love Boat too. This was like the Scooby-Doo Love Boat.
Yeah, it was like cartoon Love Boat kind of, right?
It totally was. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, dude. I'm trying to think of the era. I mean, it's all what was the thing where you had the center square? What was that called?
Hollywood
Squares.
Hollywood Squares.
It's like those people. I feel like all of those people would show up there all the time.
Yeah.
Right.
All right. I'm going to say the Harlem Globetrotters.
Whew. Oh, that's a very good choice. They were actually in two of them. They were in the episode The Loch Ness Mess and The Mystery of the Haunted Island.
Okay.
Yeah, that's when they weren't over there doing the Gilligan's Island.
Right, exactly. And we're off to the races. Right. Yeah, Harlem Globetrotters pretty much would appear on anything.
Oh, really?
Right, that you wanted. Yeah.
All right. Go ahead, Dunaway.
I remember one weird episode, and I didn't know who they were because I was so young. I remember Sonny and Cher.
Oh,
yes.
Scooby-Doo.
Sonny and Cher.
Movies.
They appeared on the I'm sorry, go ahead.
I actually confused them with other people, as I often did when I was a child. But yeah, go ahead.
They appeared on the episode "The Secret of Shark Island." Sonny and Cher.
The Secret of Shark Island with Sonny and Cher. Fantastic.
Yeah. Shark Island. Shark.
I'm gonna say, is it me shark. Or is Leslie? Is it like speakerphone getting louder? You can hear that? It's going like.
Sorry, I can mute myself if that'll help.
Yeah, Mike, it's going getting louder and louder.
Maybe it's a ghost.
It could be a ghost.
We should get in the mystery machine and find out.
That's right. And these have to be actual people, actors we're talking about. Not
necessarily, no.
Oh, well, then Batman. I remember Batman and Robin on there once thing. Does that count?
Then say that one. Yeah. Of course it counts. Yeah.
Oh, okay,
they
good.
They were a special guest star. They were on two episodes, The Dynamic Scooby-Doo Affair and The Caped Crusaders.
Okay.
Yep.
I do remember that for some reason. All right, Dunaway.
My favorite one was, you know, Scoob and the Shag were always scared. And as a child, I could understand that. And they added the third scaredy, who looks great animated, who is Don Knotts.
Absolutely. Great, great one. Yes, Don Knotts was in the episode.
His eyes were outrageous.
Yeah, all bugged up, bug-eyed. He was in the episode The Spooky Fog, and guess who's not coming to dinner? K-N-O-T-T. Oh, see what they did there.
Oh, wow. That's pretty good. All right. This might be where we have an impasse. I'll say his name because it just seems like he should have if he didn't, and I just don't know. I'll say Vincent Price.
Oh,
Vincent Price never on an episode.
That's
of
a good one, though.
That would be a good choice. You'd think he would be.
Why, I was thinking, wow, he might have got it, but he wasn't. That wasn't it.
No, surprising. When you look at this list, it's like Vincent Price would have been a perfect fit.
Now this was Adam's Family. I remember them being on there once.
Well, here's the thing: I would have accepted it. However, I would have accepted it because the episode did air, but it's never appeared on any re-release on DVD or VHS or anything.
Right.
The episode is called Wednesday is Missing, and it only aired but never came out afterwards.
It must have re-aired it during the 80s because I remember seeing it. Was it ever on Boomerang?
I don't remember that. Oh, maybe it was on Boomerang.
Maybe it was. Yeah, could have. By the way, Jodie Foster did the voice of Pugsley on that episode of...
Shut up. Really?
Dead serious, yeah.
That's crazy.
And Pat Harrington, Schneider was Mo in the Larry and Curly one, the Three Stooges.
Oh, yeah,
one.
Yeah, right, Three Stooges one.
Here's the ones you could have said. Cass Elliot from The Mamas and the Papas was in The Haunted Candy Factory. Boy, that's rough. Davy Jones.
Oh, from the Monkees? Oh,
yeah.
All right.
Yep. Dick Van Dyke in the episode called Scooby-Doo meets Dick Van Dyke.
Was Phyllis Diller in there? Because that's what I thought
Phyllis
Scott
Diller
was
in. A good medium is rare. Yeah.
Okay. I thought that's what Scott was trying to figure out with the Hollywood Squares. Wasn't she also always on that?
No, it just felt like all of those people would have been on Scooby-Doo at one time or another.
Don Adams, the Harlem Globetrotters, Jeannie and Babu. So you actually had Barbara Eden come on as Jeannie. And then Babu the genie with her, Jerry Reed, the Phantom of the Country Music Hall, Jonathan Winters, Josie and the Pussycats, Laurel and Hardy, Phyllis Diller, like Sandy Duncan.
Wait, actual Laurel and Hardy were on there?
Not the actual Laurel and Hardy. Oh, that was they'd passed away. But let's see who played them.
I was gonna say they would have been like 100 years old. Casey Kasem just did everybody. Like,
right, yeah.
I can do that.
I can't find any information about who played Laurel or Hardy in that one.
That's crazy.
Are we excited about that new movie with Laurel and Hardy? Isn't that a thing?
Yeah, I saw
it's
great.
Come out and,
that's already came out.
It was really good.
Yeah, it was really good. It's fantastic, actually. I recommend it.
Three more, Speed Buggy, The Three Stooges, and the late, great Tim Conway.
Oh, Tim Conway. No. Because he just died. Yeah. Did you ever have I guess you just read them. That's it. That's all there is. Because I was thinking of Robin Williams for some reason. I had in my head as something.
No, that was just Jonathan Winters.
Maybe that's why I'm confusing it.
Right.
Because he was Mork's kid, right? Mork's kid was Jonathan Winters.
Yeah, he was Mork's kid. Yeah.
Merk.
Mirth.
Man, did you guys get freaked out by certain episodes of TV shows when you were a kid?
Yeah.
For some reason, every time I think about the Mork and Mindy episode where Mork is shrinking and he can't stop shrinking, that one freaked me out so bad.
Really?
Yeah, that one, because there's also that Lily Tomlin movie where she basically goes through the same thing.
Yeah, The Incredible Shrinking Woman, it's called.
That's the one.
Yeah, I remember seeing that. I know, I love those kind of... I like when people get small. I like the whole Ant-Man business. That stuff's great.
Yeah, but at least he could control it. She just kept shrinking and shrinking and shrinking.
The TV show that freaked me out the most probably growing up was probably Fantasy Island, because everything was just so... everything was so stressful there. Like, at least over there on the Love Boat, it was, woohoo, thumbs up, Isaac, all that stuff.
Neato deck, and we're all having sex in different rooms. And all right.
But then you go to Fantasy Island, it's like, welcome to the worst weekend of your life. And
he was like a bad genie, he was, because you would make your little wish, fulfill your fantasy, and then, of course, it's like, that's not what you want.
Yeah, it turns out it's never going to go good. Like, they may at the end go, wow, wasn't that a great experience? And when they leave, but not while you're there. It's a bad time. No wonder Hervé Villechaize decided to check out early. Too soon? Too soon. All right.
Too soon.
You know what that means? That means that Leslie's our winner. Leslie, all you got to do is, I think I even have your email address, so is Brian, but send Brian an email first, coverville@gmail.com. He'll get you your codes. And then he'll send me
your mailing address into the email, and I'll forward that.
Yep. Okay, well, I'm not a gamer, so if you want to give the games to someone else, and it's actually pretty funny because I called in because you had said last week you had some sort of Avengers toys or whatever.
I
was thinking,
swap it.
I was thinking something for Logan, either Thanos or Thor, and I can call in and maybe I'll win.
Oh yeah, maybe. But Brian, do you have any of that?
I don't have an extra Thor, but how about a Groot and an Ant-Man? Oh, you know
that
what? Actually,
I
do have Thanos and Thor from the Sumsums. Yeah, so I'll get you those. So send me your mailing address.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah,
is it Sumsums or Zoom Zooms?
I don't know.
I don't know. No idea.
I'm a middle-aged man with some kids' toys. How am I supposed to know what you call these things?
That's awesome. All right.
So send me your mailing address. I'll forward
to
Scott. We'll send you goodies.
You're welcome. Congratulations and well done. Oh, I should have played this.
Congratulations. You're a winner.
You did it. I'm the loser today. That was a gimme for Dunaway. He's too good at old cartoon stuff. I'm never going to.
He knows that stuff too.
Yeah.
Did you have, by the way, did you have any in your back pocket you still would have been able to pull out, Bren?
Yeah, that was, I kind of mentioned most of them.
Yeah.
Okay.
You would have run out. See, this is the other thing. The other strategy, people miss the strategy of who starts first. Sometimes that is the entire contest. Yeah.
And I remember Jonathan Winters being on that. I definitely had a few more in my back pocket.
Yeah. Nice. Right back there. You sit on it. Keep warm. Your back pocket.
Back pocket.
It's Brian Dunaway, everybody.
I actually have it. We've talked about this before, but I have it's a poorly visited Reddit 70s cartoon subreddit that
I would go to that. That sounds great.
Do you mod? Yeah. Are you mod of that one?
Yeah, I created that one. That was all me.
What? You're a Redditor?
It's on there now? Hold on. That's a thing I can do now?
It is severely, how do you say?
Under-updated.
Well, let's see. What's it called? Just 70s cartoons?
70s cartoons.
Johnny Quest, The Spy, 17 Days Ago.
It's,
Sabrina the Teenage
Witch. It's so abandoned, the mystery machine is driving through there looking for a guy with a rubber mask. That's how abandoned it is.
It goes 17 days, 4 months, 9 months, 1 year, 3 years, 4 years. Yeah, get in there, dude. Get that up to date. What are you doing?
Neglected.
Yeah, you bastard. All right. It's Brian Dunaway, everybody. We'll be on later for the Boop Show today at 3:30. Looking forward to that. And lots to discuss there. We'll see you then.
Right on.
Bye now. All right. Well, we've done it. We've done it.
Yes.
Which means now we do this.
This is your radio newscaster with another exclusive sensational summary of world and local events.
It's the news brought to you by
Fickle. It's a game of building an alliance among mischievous fairy families featuring the fairy art. Oh, that's a lot of F's.
Yeah.
Of Amy Brown. The harvest moon is on the rise. The fairy families gather for the ritual of ascendancy. It is time to renew alliances and appoint a new leader. Each family has a unique power that enables you to improve your alliance and thwart your opponents. Every round, you choose a single fairy, resolve its power, and add it to your alliance. And at the end of five rounds, the player with the highest total favor points in their alliance is the winner. Easy. Except with all those powers, mischievous fairies don't seem to stay in one alliance for long. They tend to be fickle. It's a quick learn with lots of variants. 20-minute playtime for 3 to 5 players. On Kickstarter starting May 21st. That's tomorrow.
Yeah, fickle. Go look for it.
Fickle.
F-I-C-K-L-E. Fickle.
Fickle.
It's starting to sound like a swear word.
Did we get samples of that? I got a sample of a board game recently that came right before I was leaving for Vegas, or I would have taken it with me.
I don't think it's that one.
It might be that, because it's got fairy art.
Oh, maybe it is. I don't think... you know what? He did tell me in an email he sent you a sample. That's right.
Yeah.
He told me that that he sent Brian a sample, and I was like, really?
I need to take it to a Denver Tadpool gaming meetup, tabletop meetup, and play it.
Yeah, see how that goes.
Yeah.
All right, that's a pretty good story to start with.
Okay.
Cops stopped a Tesla driver. Tesla.
Teslas.
Yeah, Teslas. He's a Tesla driver. You know those have autopilot, right? A pretty advanced version of it. So you can
Somebody filmed a porno while their Tesla drove them around the city a couple weeks ago.
Really?
Yes.
That should be a story on this show.
Right?
Yes. Tesla porn. Hold on. This is going to go bad, is it? It's going to be fine.
Yeah, I hope Safe Search is on.
It is on moderate currently. Oh. All right, no one look at my search history.
Woo! Oh boy!
All right, there's some that's not good.
Legs flying around there.
Yeah. Well, in this case, this guy was asleep and drunk, and he got pulled over while he was in autopilot mode. This was in the Netherlands. Before you start going Florida, what'd it happen in Florida? No, happened in the Netherlands on Thursday. They pulled over this Tesla driver who had been apparently fallen asleep at the wheel while driving down the highway. A Dutch police agency reported the incident on Instagram. A 50-year-old man was spotted driving close to the car ahead of him in the A27 road, whatever that is. We came alongside him and the driver appeared to have fallen asleep, says the police. I mean, they're in the Netherlands. I got to be accurate here, right?
Right, yes. Well done. That's nailed it.
Here you go. Police signaled for the driver to pull over, but he did not seem to notice. Eventually, the officers managed to wake the driver up using a siren. What are their sirens like? Because ours are...
Right.
To get people
going. All the European ones are beeper.
I hate those because they sound weird when they do the Doppler effect. They make me feel funny.
Oh.
Because they go beeper. Yeah, I don't like it. I find that really discordant sounding for some reason. Anyway, police administered a blood alcohol test, found the driver to be under the influence of alcohol. His driving license was collected on the basis of Article 5 of the Road Traffic Act, he says. This isn't the first time authorities have pulled over an apparently sleeping intoxicated Tesla driver. Last November, it took police 7 miles to pull over somebody in Palo Alto, California. In that case, police had to speed ahead of the vehicle and then slow down to force the vehicle itself to stop, because the vehicle will do that if you block it.
Right.
But that thing's pretty legit. I have a friend who has a new Tesla Model 3. He lives in California and he drives, he had to make it like a state long width, or, you know, from the top of California to the bottom kind of drive, road trip. That's a long trip. And, you know, you go to this charging stations and it may take you 45 minutes. That's a good time to eat or whatever. And he says the number one cool thing about it was, if you've got little kids, you're way less worried about the road because the car is basically doing it. So you don't have to have all of your stress about road focus. Instead, you can like reach back, see everything's okay. You don't have to be staring at the road all the time. Like, that thing really is driving without you in a lot of ways. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah. And so I guess, you know, it may be time to revisit the laws about what you can and can't do while your driverless car is driving itself.
Mm-hmm.
Like, can you, you know, is taking a nap, I'd say it's a bad idea, because if there's some emergency, you want to be able to stop and adjust, but
mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know if this is true in every case, but I think the Tesla requires your hands to be on the wheel.
Oh, really?
I think so, or else it won't do, because... You can autopilot any time as long as your hands are on the wheel. So if your hands are on the wheel and it knows you need the next exit, it'll just turn without you telling it to and go off the off ramp. But I think your hands have to be there. I'm not sure.
Well, it feels like that's worse because your natural tendency may be to push against it. If it's like in a turn and go around a thing and your hands are on the wheel, you're providing some resistance.
Yeah.
And
no, you're right. I don't know if that means you just take control then if you pull too hard or if you... So I don't know enough about it. Is that what it is? If you push against it, the autopilot turns off, says Alex.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, I haven't tried it before.
So people are going to figure out a way to get some haptic, you know, like some little haptic sensors that you can just wrap around the wheel to simulate your hands being on it.
Yeah, it wouldn't be too hard, right? Probably figure that out.
Exactly.
Get some...
But, you know, like... Would I like to take a driverless car, across Utah down through Arizona to Vegas, mm-hmm. and then take a nap along the way, or even start pre-gaming on the way with a couple shots?
Yeah,
sure.
I mean, that's the future. We're getting there.
Yeah,
it's just this is a weird in-between moment.
There is that stretch where you go through the corner of Arizona through that canyon, mm-hmm. that super windy canyon. No way I'm letting that do the driverless thing. Yeah. I got to have my hands on the wheel for that business.
Yeah, that thing's real bad.
Yeah.
Although, I mean, they're designed to do it. They know where they've got LIDAR or whatever the hell it's called. But yeah, I mean, you know, you and I we're of a generation where this stuff just is, it's really new. Like, I mean, as excited about it as I am, I'm, you know, it's still just such a weird concept.
It really is.
All right, here's a fun thing for you because I know how you love your pink sauce. So here you go.
Yeah. Brian.
A new Heinz condiment. Heinz is making this. They're calling it Mayo Chup. Now, okay. I would have said Ketchup A's. This article also suggests that.
Ketchup
A's would have been more fun than Mayo Chup. But basically, it is a new thing that's basically the pink sauce you get in certain places. Here in Utah, it's ubiquitous. We have pumps of the stuff everywhere you go. Like, that is a common thing. You ask for pink sauce or fry sauce, they know exactly what you're getting in other parts of the country.
And it's just coming to Colorado now. Like, Freddy's is the first place I remember seeing where they actually have pumps of pink sauce.
Yeah. So it's weird that my whole life that was a thing. And when I talk to people out of state, they're like, what are you even talking about? But finally, you guys are getting it. And nationally, now you're really going to get it because you're going to get your Mayo Chup, which is basically that same stuff. The combination of mayonnaise and ketchup mixed in a single bottle. This went to Canada first, I guess, but it's coming to the States. Anyway, here's the problem with Mayo Chup. It has a translation into the Cree language that is not good. Here's what it goes. The name is pretty logical, but certain Cree dialects that are used.
That's Cree with a C, by the way, folks, not Cree with a K.
Right, not the Marvel thing.
Right, indigenous people of Canada.
Right.
Cree.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. It says it comes off as a little less appealing. To some, Mayo Chup can translate to shit-faced or shit on my face. originally tweeted by CBC radio host Waljerbo Hig Rice, Grand Chief Jonathan Solomon of the Mushkigawik Council in Northern Ontario, first pointed out the translation mishap. Quote, we the Cree people are laughing about it because of what it means in our language, he told the National Post in an email. It's kind of funny when you think about it. If I ate it and have some on my face, then I am shit face or mayo chup.
I love it. Mayo chup.
Yeah, mayo chup.
I'm going to go drive my Tesla, my driverless Tesla, and totally get mayo chup behind the wheel.
I think I'm going to get some of this and just see if it holds, if it compares well to what we do locally around here.
Sure.
Or if I should just mix my own. I mean, come on. How hard is it?
Yeah, well... Is that all that's in pink sauce is just mayonnaise and ketchup?
Yeah, some will put other stuff in, like there's a place near here, or maybe you and I went there once. Cubbies, did we go to Cubbies? Or maybe it was Ibbot or Dunaway.
No.
Or not Dunaway, Tom is who I went with. Anyway, Cubbies has their own version of it, which they insert some kind of spicy something in there, but it's still the base of ketchup, mayo, and then they put some kind of barbecue thing in there or something. Anyway, but you can, you know, tweak it as needed. I've had some hot versions of it, and sometimes it just has a little
Freddy's
flex.
Freddy's has the jalapeno pink sauce, which I love.
That is good, stuff. Isn't it? Oh, Freddy's.
That's a da bomb. I had Freddy's Saturday. You can do it. You just got to balance it, you know, with like a, you know,
you mean,
chicken breast for dinner that
day.
Yeah,
you got to go light to get Freddy's in your life. Let's see here. Burger King, speaking of burgers.
Sure.
It's a fun little story. Burger King is going to offer a service where they deliver food to drivers stuck in Los Angeles traffic.
How are they going to get it? Well, I guess this explains it.
Yeah, I guess they go through it. They did a successful test in Mexico City, and now they're going to move it up north. The fast food chain will use motorcyclists to deliver piping hot food using real-time data to pinpoint hungry drivers within a 1.9 mile radius from the closest Burger King. This is according to CBS LA, which is their affiliate there. Burger King's ordering app will use voice commands to avoid tickets. Once placed, the delivery motorcyclist will use Google mapping technology to deliver, typically within 15 minutes from when the order was placed, straight to your car that's stuck on the I-5 or the 405 or wherever you are.
See, that was the thing that really freaked me out in LA traffic. It's not just, you know, the fact that you're bumper to bumper moving super slow. It's the fact that motorcycles zip down the lines, down the dash lines in between the cars. And that freaks me out because all it takes is some idiot who doesn't, you know, sees an opening and like guns it to get into that opening and not see a motorcycle.
I agree. Worries me. Totally agree. They were John Wick 3 had some of this. Yes. Just racing around in between cars.
Motorcycle action there.
Horses and motorcycles,
Yeah, Burger King needs to do this with drones. I think it seems like the obvious way to do it.
All deliveries need to be drones. That's what I think, too.
Yeah. Like, yes.
Bring me everything in drone form.
DoorDash drones. No doofus on my doorstep sipping on my milkshake before he hands it over to me.
Yep. We've solved all the problems now. This is it.
Yep. Drone it.
That's going to do it. I'll save these other two for tomorrow.
Okay. All right.
I guess just this one. Is there two? No, there's just the one.
Just one?
Yeah, I'll save that for tomorrow. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we got major spoilers. Steven Schleicher will be here. We're going to talk a little about that Pattinson deal. And I have a thing to say about that. So that's coming up.
Do you?
Yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah. He'll talk
about it. You have an opinion, do
you? I got an opinion, Brian. I'm going to tell it on this show, don't you know?
Oh.
Then you got Trek Nerd, and there's actual stuff to talk about there. That's all coming up next. Before that, though, a song break with Brian Ibbett's song. What do you have there?
Yeah, I think we're just, for this song break, I think we're just going to have like about, 5 minutes of silence. 5 minutes of a song called Silence.
Oh.
See what I did there?
Yeah.
This is a performer by the name of Anna Wolf. You can find her online at therealannawolf.com. A-N-N-A-W-O-L-F, just like you think it would be spelled. She's from London. And she, her influence is Bjork. And I feel like her influence is probably like the big time sensuality era of Bjork, like the really cool dance pop stuff that Bjork did. Really, really good stuff. I really like this. I would even say some Lorde influences as well. This is a brand new single that she's released called Silence. From London, here is Anna Wolf.
I ran so fast through the jungle to try and find whatever my footsteps might have left behind. I found gold mines, snakes and ladders, big balloons floating by. Your mom says hi.
I got a million voices screaming. Through the jungle to get away, leaving behind the old me and change my name. I found gold mines, snakes and ladders. I found big balloons floating by. Your mom says hi. I got a million voices screaming.
Hey, y'all, you know how in the past we've worked with HelloFresh? Well, I got some kind of cool news. Green Chef is now owned by HelloFresh, and they offer a wider array of meal plan choices. I love switching between the brands when I want to eat a little differently each month. So it's one of those worlds where you can have the best of both worlds. I love it. So we've teamed up with Green Chef, and they are offering everyone in our audience $50 off your first box of Green Chef. Go to greenchef.us/TMS to take advantage of that. And here's how it works. Green Chef lets you choose from a wide array of easy-to-follow lifestyles with selective organic ingredients. Select organic ingredients, I should say. So, for example, you may approach it like I did and say, paleo sounds good to me. And therefore, that's where I start. I do like that. And there's something for everyone. You can switch up your meal plan and change the box you're getting to try a new way to eat anytime. And I loved it. I really, really liked it. I wish I could remember the name of the beef dish I had, but we went with the paleo. And it was really fantastic. Kim put it together in minutes, and boom, we had a fantastic meal on the table and ready to go, and it was really, really good. And here's the other thing. Green Chef expert chefs design flavorful recipes for your lifestyle that go way beyond ordinary substitutions. So this isn't just like, hey, I'm vegan. What are my options? It's like, hey, you're vegan. Want to eat really well? Here's some rad vegan food. I almost did vegan. I should have, just to see it. Maybe I will. Maybe that'll be the next one I get. And it's that easy. I can switch up anytime. Anyway, it's very convenient, very easy. Green Chef makes cooking easy with dinner options that work around your lifestyle, not the other way around. Here's what we want you to do. Go to greenchef.us/TMS to get $50 off your first box of Green Chef. That's greenchef.us/TMS. For your first box, that's $50 off. Do it today.
The letter proves they're just tools in someone else's plan. Whose?
What the f*** are you doing sniffing around my house?
Harvey Keitel's penis.
He's not the Messiah. He's a very naughty boy. This is the Morning Stream.
All right, we're back, everybody. We are back.
We're back.
Hey, people at home who were like, hey, there was no song on PM the other day. Go re-download it. Or, well, some apps are weird about caching. They cache the version they got, and then they pretend like there's never been a change. But most of them will let you download it with the song in there now. I put it up, like, right after. It's like a half an hour later. So I apologize from the bottom of my heart. For the mishap.
Just pull it. Just redo it. There you go.
I got to make a list, a post-it note right on my screen or something for Thursday, for Fridays. I don't have a problem any other day. Every day, it's fine. Two songs a day.
It's funny because it's not like, it's not like it's that different from what you do every day.
No, it's just one.
Do it at a different time.
Yeah, it's one slot is the only difference. And you'd think that'd be easier because it's just the one.
Show title. One slot is the only difference.
Yeah. Hey, yeah, baby.
Hey.
All right. Who are we calling? Steven. That's who.
The Schleicherman.
I keep forgetting he's a Skype man. Skype man.
Yeah. Not a conformist.
Not a fan. No, it's fine. I don't mind. We make concessions where they're needed.
I know, but it means I don't get to see him.
That's true. You don't. Yeah. You're absolutely right. You do not get to see Steven. That's just the rule.
We'll fix that.
Yeah, we'll fix, sort of. I mean, even if you send me video, I still can't show you. To Brian, he can't see you.
Right.
All right. Well, wait. Here's this.
Steven.
On the other end of this internet piece of paper, we have Steven Schleicher all the way from Hayes, Kansas, and the formidable website known as Majorspoilers.com. Steven, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you, Scott. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning.
We missed you last week, man. You had stuff.
Oh, man. My youngest son is in one of those advanced kids programs. Mm-hmm. And so they have to do these research projects. And then they give them at their smart kids class. Mm. And then they have to give it in front of the regular class. Mm. And oh, boy, second graders reading PowerPoint word for word is thrilling.
I'll bet. That's a hell of a TED Talk.
And not 30 word PowerPoints either. We're talking like 500 words on a PowerPoint.
Oh, my gosh. Really?
No, well, it's pretty close to that. But
did you bring a bring your Switch or something?
I brought my camera and I recorded the whole thing. Oh, you 20 minutes, a 20-minute presentation.
As he did, Adhesive Wombat in the chat says there's some nasty weather headed your way. What's that about?
Yeah. It is pitch black outside and it's a torrential rain pour.
Oh no!
Right now, yeah, you know, like 3 days ago, last week, Thursday, it was like almost 100 degrees. Right now, it is 45 degrees.
Yeah. Weather's weird right now, man. So somewhere in California got a bunch of hail or something.
Bunch of butterflies flapping their wings, I think.
You think that's it?
That's what it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
We had some hail the other day, big golf ball size hail for some reason out of nowhere. I don't know. Weather, man. It's weird. It's almost like the climate's changing. Anyway, hey Steven, let's get into it, buddy. Let's talk about the world around us. For example, Robert Pattinson. Brian calls him a foot. He's Batman. That's fine.
It's official now. Yeah, it was rumored last week, or he was in the running last week, and now it's 100% official.
Yeah.
Yes, definitely. So what do you guys think about this? I mean, I didn't even realize he was in the fourth Harry Potter movie.
Oh, we did. I knew that.
Cedric Diggory.
He died at the end, and it was a big deal.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
But I've never seen the Twilight movie.
He's not able to get the goblet.
Yeah.
Some people think he's a mighty fine actor.
Yeah.
And I guess my idea on this is a lot of people really hated the idea of Ben Affleck as Batman until they saw him in doing the Batman thing.
Yeah. The problem is nobody wants him. Here's my problem. He's in lots of other movies, and apparently he's a perfectly serviceable actor. Like, he gets the job done and does a fine job. I think it's fine. I think the only reason people are losing their minds is because Twilight, and that's it. And I don't think that's fair to him. I don't think it's fair to anybody who's in a, you know, there's a big cultural zeitgeist thing that happens, and then you get typecast or tied to that for the rest of your career. That's kind of lame.
Well, maybe he'll be typecast as Batman.
Maybe, I don't know.
For the rest
know.
Of his but career. At, I mean, he may be really, really good.
To Jake Lloyd couldn't get any work. Hayden Christensen had a hard time doing anything after...
Jake Lloyd was terrible.
Prequels.
I mean, he was just bad.
Well, and plus people just tormented this, how old he was, 10-year-old kid, until he was just like, I don't want anything to do with movies anymore.
Yeah, I don't blame him at all.
So let's look at some positives this, right?
All right.
Somebody on Twitter mentioned that, hey, guys with significant others, maybe this is your chance to get your girlfriend or your significant other to finally go see a Batman movie.
Yeah, there you go.
Because you have to remember, those Twilight movies went, 7, 8, 25 different versions of that movie? Mm-hmm. There's a lot of people who are really in love with Robert Pattinson. And I think that you're going to draw a totally different demographic into this movie.
It's entirely possible. However, here's what I would say let's say you don't have a significant other and you just want to be pissed about this choice.
Sure, go ahead. Be a pissed.
I'm old enough to remember how Michael Keaton, everybody lost their mind that Michael Keaton was going to be Bruce Wayne.
You know what's weird about that?
Yeah.
Not only was he pretty good in that, but if you go back and watch Batman 89 now,
yeah,
it is just as campy as Batman 66, just the lighting has been turned down.
Oh, totally. Yeah, no, it's definitely like new coat of paint, but they're digging into that old bucket for sure.
Yeah.
So I remember everybody losing their mind about that and how he's going to suck and it would be terrible. And he wasn't, and he didn't. He was great. And I am also old enough to remember how in 2007 or 6, when it was announced that Heath Ledger was going to be the Joker, y'all lost your minds then. He'll be terrible. How can you use him? Yeah. He's awful. He's an embarrassment to Australia. And what do we all think of him now? The greatest Joker in the history of the freaking role. So I think you got to wait and see how he does first. Here'd be the funny thing, though. So I'm going to withhold judgment entirely until I see this movie. I like the filmmaker behind it. That's a cool director. So I'm into what he's doing. So whatever, that's more my interest of any of this, is just to see how the film is as a whole. And Pattinson will fit in or he won't. But my other thing is this. If they really want to tweak everybody's anger bean, here's what you do. That's not good what I just said, is it?
Tweaking the
probably
bean.
Not.
Sure.
Tweaking the anger bean? Anyway. Here's what you need to do.
Title of the show, people.
You need to hire that Taylor Lautner kid who played the werewolf to be the Joker in this one.
The Joker? No, seriously, a Joker, or is he better served as someone else? Killer Croc?
Sure. Just get him
Mr.
in there.
Freeze.
Sure. Any of those. It's fine. Yeah.
Probably not the Penguin, but I mean, maybe not Bane, but maybe one of those two I think could be.
What if he's just straight up Jacob? What if he's just Jacob the werewolf?
What if he's, Two-Face? Yeah,
Batman versus Jacob.
Oh, yeah. Man-Bat. He could be Man-Bat.
He could be Man-Bat.
There you go.
Oh,
right. It's almost a werewolf. Yeah. No, you know, the thing is, Bruce Wayne is supposed to be kind of an aloof dick, womanizer, you know. I think he can do fine with this. You know, I mean, I'm not saying he's a dick or an aloof dick, but I mean, it's a role that that you wouldn't see Paul Rudd play. You can't see Paul Rudd as Batman, right? He's just too nice. He's not going to, he can maybe play the rich guy, but he's not going to play the rich, reclusive kind of jerk. And I think that, Robert Pattinson kind of can pull it off.
Yeah, I do too. He's going to be fine. Look, if Christian Bale was okay, he'll be okay.
Yeah,
right. I mean, we all think of Bale for all his more modern, like, Oscar stuff. But at the time, you know, his Batman's... I mean, I'm going to say something...
from Newsies?
I'm going to say something kind of controversial here. I don't think he was a very good Batman. I think he was an okay Bruce Wayne. I never really liked him as Batman. When he put on the cowl, he would do, I'm going to talk like this too much. And it was just, I didn't like it. That's just me. Sure. Everyone can fight me on this. Sure. That's fine. It's not that big a deal. It's all about the full package. It's about everything working together. They can make this work. So calm yourself down.
Here's a couple of other things to keep in mind. Pattinson apparently is under contract at the studio. So they were looking for something for him to be in, which is just another scarier kind of thought when you think about vertical integration and you see companies like Disney who are now buying distribution outlets through Disney Plus and Hulu that, man, we have basically returned to pre 1930s vertical integration in the Hollywood system. And that's something that should be scary. And the other thing that people should keep in mind is that he may be a done in one Batman. And I guarantee you between now and the end of our lives, we're going to see 20 more people play Batman, and some of them will be good and some of them might be bad.
Yeah, that's my concern. But also that's interesting. You're talking about the studio system making a comeback. I hadn't really thought of it that way.
It's scary. It's scary. I mean, before the United States government took on Paramount and all the rest of the studios, basically we look at something like Fox 21st century or 20th century Fox back in the day, they owned the writers, they owned the actors, they owned, all of the equipment, they owned the studios, they actually owned the theater system. And so if you wanted to see a Fox movie, the only place you could see it is at a Fox theater. Mm-hmm. And if you were an actor under contract, there was no way that you could go and work for another studio unless there was an exchange or a lot of money paid for you to be loaned out to this other studio for an extent of time. And that's why Charlie Chaplin and Douglas Fairbanks and others broke off and formed United Artists back in the day because they didn't want to be part of that studio system. But if you go and watch like a movie like The Last Tycoon, or if you even see the series with what's his name? Kelsey Grammer, I think, is in that one. That really is exploring the last days of the big, powerful studio system before it was taken away by the government in anti-competitive lawsuits.
Right.
But now when you look and see where the studios are at today, they're so close. If one of them buys an AMC, boom, we're right back to that.
Kind of are. The difference this time is that it's less about, because it used to be about you owned your stable of actors. And yes, you own facilities and you own lots and all that other stuff. But really what it came down was you own the stars and you would loan them out only sparingly. The difference now is it's IPs that you own.
Right.
And you loan those out. Like the deal between Marvel and Sony for Spider-Man is an example of that. It's like this weird loaner. You know what I mean? Like this
Spider-Man
weird...
is a loner.
Yeah.
A wallflower and a loner.
He's such a weird loner, that kid. Anyway, I'm all in on whatever they do because I want to see how Pattinson does. And if it sucks, I'll tell you. But if it doesn't, good deal. We'll watch it. Have you guys ever heard of Atlas Comics? I haven't.
Some people might have. Brian, you know about Atlas Comics?
I've heard the name, but I could not tell you a single Atlas Comics character.
You might know Atlas Comics because they eventually evolved into Marvel Comics when Martin Goodman was there years later. Now, Martin Goodman left Marvel in 1968, but he still loved the Atlas Comics name. So when people say Atlas Comics, first thing a lot of people might think of is, oh, this is what turned into Marvel. And so you may know a lot of Marvel characters. The Atlas Comics we're talking about, though, is Martin Goodman in 1972 went on to form Seaboard periodicals, and in 1974 launched Atlas Comics with such characters that we all remember as The Brute and Grim Ghost and Wolf the Barbarian and their title character Iron Jaw.
Iron Jaw.
You might remember some of these characters, right? These big popular characters, which every single character in the Atlas Comics lineup went 4 issues, and then all the comics were canceled.
Jeez.
So now why are we talking about
that? Why would Stephen Paul buy this dead hunk of a corpse of a comic?
Well, just like you said, the most important thing in Hollywood right now is the IP. And so Stephen Paul is looking at a comic book publisher that's languished. They tried to do a restart, I want to say in 2006, like 10 years ago or so, to bring back the Atlas comic line. It didn't go anywhere, but somebody sees something in Iron Jaw and Grim Ghost and Planet of Vampires and all these others, and is thinking to themselves, hey, we could make a bunch of $60 million movies. If Shazam can do it, we can do it too. And if we can get even half the audience, we can make a lot of money on this. And people right now are just scrambling for anything comic book related. It's been proven after the Avengers Endgame that people are not tired of comic book properties. So I think that as long as comic book properties remain hot in television and in the movies, that people are going to be scrambling to find the next great IP. And who knows, Iron Jaw, which is just basically Conan the Barbarian with an iron jaw, that could be a pretty big deal.
Yeah, that's cool. I like an iron jaw. Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, I mean, you can't get it wet, but, you know.
is it kind of like that that DC character with that basically just has the big iron jaw?
Basically, I know that, yes.
The DC character has a whole iron. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Oh, like the Cataclysm Dragon, Deathwing, with the big iron jaw?
Yeah, there you go.
Cool. I like iron jaws. Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
They should make an Iron Jaws movie, which is sharks with iron jaws. That'd be cool.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, Trap Jaw from sure. He-Man. Remember him? He had a jaw like that.
Yep.
Trap Jaw.
Yeah, dude.
So for those of you who don't know who Stephen Paul is, he is the producer for the Ghost Rider movie and, of course, a lot more. The idea is that he's got writers and people working on this stuff now. They want to go into production in 2020, next year, and then have their first film released in 2021.
That's odd. That sounds good.
My guess is Planet of the Vampires will be the first movie out the gate.
Okay. And do you think this stuff will be good? Like,
it's $60 million. I mean, what you're doing is you're buying an idea. You're buying this idea of who, if I just told you Planet of the Vampires, what's the first thing that comes to mind?
I don't know.
Planet of Vampires, right?
Oh, well, you mean a planet full of vampires, right?
Yeah.
I am Legend is the first thing that comes to my mind.
I am Legend. So, I mean, you could do something very easily like that and turn it into the next, what was that one with Triple X in it, where he's the guy that can see in the dark and they're on that planet full of monsters.
Right.
Pitch Black or Pitch Dark, whatever it was. Yeah.
Pitch mm-hmm. Black. Pitch
do something black. Like that with Planet of Vampires.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Easy. $60 million easy. Mm-hmm. And you can end up making $100 million off that. No problem.
Well, that's a pretty low production. In modern terms, that's pretty low.
I mean, when you think about the time period, 1974, and think about some of the stuff that was going on, you can go and look up some of the covers to the Atlas comics, and some of them are pretty risque for the time period. But this all sounds like grindhouse type stuff, where you can crank these out super cheap and then make a lot of money either in the theaters or through the DVD, or not the DVD, but the online sales.
All right. Well, sign us up. I'll do it.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely something enticing about a world like that that spans multiple movies. That's mm-hmm. that's the one thing I'm really bummed about with the whole Universal Monster universe that was going to be really cool. We were going to get a Dr. Jekyll and all these stories were going to be intertwined and stuff like that. And I was bummed that we really didn't end up getting that.
No, not at all. They're done, right? Didn't they back off all that stuff?
The Mummy with Tom Cruise and the...
I knew they were doing Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
With Moss.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Javier Bardem was going to be in there as...
what was his deal? Werewolf or something? What was his thing?
Yeah, I can't remember what he was going to be.
Yeah. He was going to kill people with a cow gun.
That was it, yes. Yeah. Right. Russell Crowe was Jekyll and Hyde because he was actually in the...
Mummy.
The Mummy movie, right, is kind of going to be the Professor X of Monsterverse.
Yeah. Which is a weird idea anyway, but right. Yeah, I mean, totally. I was in on their weird idea. It's too bad It didn't pan out. I think they took it too seriously. I can't tell what they did wrong.
I don't know what they did wrong. I think they just released them in the wrong order. Tom Cruise's Mummy was, they needed to come out the gate with an Iron Man, with a really, really good starting movie, and then build upon that. And the Mummy was just not good enough to be a starting movie.
Exactly. Has Iron Man not taught us anything?
Right. Have we not learned from
Iron
Man?
Have we not learned from Iron Man? Hey, also, Steven, speaking of Batman, let's talk about the Ra's al Ghul return, which seems
cool. So, DC Comics this summer is doing a thing called, what is it called? Something Evil Wins, or something along the lines of Villains, Year of the Villain, that's what it is. And so, one of the big Batman villains is Ra's al Ghul. And one of the biggest creators of Ra's al Ghul is Neil Adams and Denny O'Neill, who created that awesome storyline back in the, I want to say, 70s of Ra's al Ghul coming in and introducing Talia. And many people may see this big picture. You can find it on the internet of Batman making out with Talia. And he's got his shirt off and he's still wearing his cowl and making out with Talia al Ghul. But he's got this big hairy chested Batman. In part of this Year of the Villain, DC is bringing Neil Adams back to write and do the art for Batman versus Ra's al Ghul. And so for people who are looking for some other Batman stories to check out, they might want to check this one out. DC is certainly playing this up as a big deal and something to check out coming out. I think August is when it is when this one is scheduled to hit the shelves.
Nice. I look forward to that. I would definitely read that. Hey, for listeners who may not know, we do Comic Dorks again, you and I.
Yes.
And I can't remember that. When are we supposed
next
to?
Next Monday, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Or actually, it's probably supposed to be today, but I think we'll do it next Monday.
I think I had it written as next Monday, but oh yeah, I had it as next Monday. Yeah.
Of course, next Monday is also Memorial Day. So.
Oh, it is. That's perfect. You'll have nothing to do with your kids at home. It'll all be great.
Exactly. Well, my wife will be off too, so she can wrangle down.
Yeah. So yeah, look forward to that because we'll have more of this type stuff to discuss, including a comic or two that I've been reading that I want to get Steven's opinion about. We'll talk about that next week, of course. And as always, we'll have you here on probably next Monday, like we do most Mondays.
Yep.
Steven Schleicher, everybody. Anything happening on the site before we go that you should let people know about?
Just a lot of cool stuff. If people want to check out some of the latest real news instead of just rumors stuff, you want to definitely check out MajorSpoilers.com. And if somebody is looking for a comic book to read, I highly recommend Brian Michael Bendis's run on Action Comics. It is really, really good. It's surprisingly good, and it's leading up to another big event that deals with this secret group that may be tied into Ra's al Ghul called Leviathan. And the first 11 issues are already out of Action Comics. I would certainly go pick them up to get the backstory. But you can tell he is just having fun playing with like every character that he can in the DC universe. I mean, the Question pops up. You've got Mr. Bones that pops up. You just have a bunch of random people that you thought you'd never see again. The Manhunter pops up in this. And it's just really well done. And I can't wait to see what happens with this Leviathan event that kicks off later this summer. Yeah. So go get the Brian Michael Bendis run of Action Comics.
That guy's great. I love his work. Steven Schleicher, everybody. Major Spoilers on Twitter. Stay hydrated.
Stay hydrated.
Goodbye. All right.
Cool.
Daryl, maybe?
Maybe.
I guess we'll see. Daryl Skills. We're calling him. Daryl, are you there?
Oh, yes.
Oh, all right. I guess the internet at work's working again. Is that the deal?
It usually does.
All right. Well, here's your thing.
Blasters and guns say pew pew, but phasers say zert.
All right. There you
zert.
Go. Oh, there's two zerts. I forgot how many zerts there were. There's a lot of zerts.
Zert.
No, third zert. All right. Hey, it's Daryl Skeels.
All three zerts.
He is all the way.
Oh, speaking of which.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead. What were you going to say?
Speaking of which, have you asked Alexa how many lights there are?
Alexa, how many lights are there? Oh, she does it with like pauses. She goes, there are four lights. Oh, that's great. Oh, sorry, everyone at home. I didn't think to mute that when I said that. Did it? For anyone who had speakers on just now, I guess I just messed you up. Anyway, Daryl, he's the Star Trek nerd, comes on the show and we talk about Star Trek stuff. And there's some stuff this week, it turns out. For example, Picard's series title, Star Trek, colon, Picard. Or as we're going to call it from now on,
Star Trek, Picard's colon.
Yeah, Picard's colon. Don't nobody want to explore that part of the universe. STP, Daryl wrote, can I treat my oil with it? I see what you did, Daryl, because STP oil treatment, right?
Mm-hmm,
I see what you did. That was good. Nice. So I'm a little surprised it's that simple, but I think I kind of like it. I think that's cool. Star Trek Picard. Like, what else are you going to do?
Yeah, well, we've been calling it the Star Trek Picard series anyway.
Yeah.
Right.
What if they'd have called it the Picard?
The Picard Show.
The Picard Hour with Jean-Luc Picard. Like some 70s, like...
Everybody loves Picard.
Yeah. I like it. Yeah, no, it's fine. How do you feel, Daryl? Are you okay with it?
Oh, yeah, it's fine.
That doesn't bother you to... What if it
no.
was... Okay. What if it was Star Trek... What was his nickname that people would call him? Like the girlfriend called him something that he was always traveling around with? She sucked and went off with Q in the end. But
J. Picky?
I don't remember. Jay Picky?
Jay Picky.
Jay Picky! No, it's something else. She called him something. She had a pet name for him. And that was Vash.
Yeah.
I don't even remember that.
Do you remember Vash?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Totally remember Vash.
So maybe she just said Jean-Luc. I thought she had a nickname for him. Anyway, that's coming. So now we got a title and everyone's happy. Also, they're filming at the Anaheim Convention Center. Why? What's that about?
Well, I saw a picture online with the like Voyager style uniforms in the background. So I'm thinking maybe it's Starfleet Command.
Really? At the Anaheim Convention Center? When we go to BlizzCon again, will we be walking where his feet have trod?
Yes. Yeah. You will go where he has gone before.
That convention center is very cool and futuristic. There was a movie that we saw for FilmSec that used the Anaheim Convention Center for their it was a movie where a character has to go in and they're pulling a heist.
I don't remember this.
Because we were talking about, oh yeah, I know that's a place where we go and hang out while we're waiting for a session to start or something. What movie was it?
Was it a modern movie? A newer movie?
It was a modern movie, yeah, and I think it was using it because it was all futuristic looking. And
I don't remember.
They were using it for an airport, if I remember correctly. Oh, man, it's going to bug me.
Would totally look like an airport, that place.
Yeah, I'll bet Randy remembers.
He probably remembers. He'll Google it, and then he'll know. anyway, that's cool. I like that idea. Why not? That building's cool. If that's Starfleet Command. We've never really seen that before. I guess we've seen the movies, right? Or I guess in San Francisco, like when they'd go there in TNG, we'd see it. But it was always
the headquarters.
Yeah.
It wasn't that same place.
No.
Who knows?
It always felt like outside, though. Or they were always filming outside because, you know, Wesley was getting his foot caught in a plant or whatever the hell was going on there. Do I have that?
Yeah.
I have that mixed
up. Where Boothby did his thing.
Oh, right. anyway, so that's the thing. And then also, What We Left Behind on Blu-ray, August 6th. Oh,
mm-hmm.
Is that good? Do you want that?
Oh, yeah. It was in the theaters last week.
Remind me what it is. Like, What We Left Behind? Threat. What is it?
The Voyager thing, right?
No, it's Deep Space Nine documentary.
The documentary.
Yeah.
Right. Do you think it's just like, my wallet, and I left a pair of keys there? Do you think that's what they're saying they left behind? Like when the show ended, season 7, that's a wrap, everybody. Well done. Everyone go home. Aw, shit, I left my wallet in there. Is that what they're talking about?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's
it. Okay, great.
Yeah. By the way, it was Matchstick Men was the film that we watched for FilmSec that used the Anaheim Convention Center as the airport.
Really?
Yes, they had to pull off a heist. And they were making it look like it was an airport. And
Look at that. Here's the little screen grabby. Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, that's totally true. Oh, weird. Yeah, they were heisting. I don't remember what they were heisting. They were heisting something.
Right. So big thanks to Jackalope Ashley and Zalex for pointing that out.
Well done, guys. Well done. You've done it again. You know, this is my this is my favorite thing that he ever said. Hold on. Where is it? Hold on. Why can't I find it? This is the great line from Matchstick Man. Here it is.
Pissed blood!
There you go.
Oh, yeah. Right.
He was at a pharmacy or something there. Yeah.
Yes, right.
Well, anyway, that's all well and good. Daryl, anything else in the world going on? That's pretty much it, right?
Well, yeah. I'm the last person to ever see Firefly, probably. But I am now a giant fan.
Oh, you had to be.
Oh, good.
I knew you would be. Of course you wouldn't. Have you seen the movie yet? Have you seen Serenity yet?
Yep.
Oh, Serenity's so good. I want to see Serenity again. You know, I've seen it 19 times. I'm working on 20. Right. Yeah. I don't know why.
I guess it's probably too late for new stuff, huh?
Well, I mean, they'd have to reboot, right? Like, start over, probably. But I would be okay with that.
But they had such great actors in that.
I agree. Yeah. A huge part of that was the actors. A giant part of it was the dialogue. Joss Whedon knew kind of what to have people say in a way that just made that show special. I love the slaying of the world that they created. But I would not be opposed to, you know, starting something new in that universe. I think that'd be fine. I'd take it.
Yeah.
At this point,
at first I didn't get it because horses in space, what?
Yeah.
But then I finally got what they were trying to do.
Just so we always like to give equal time to all points of view. Jay Calhoun in the chat says, Firefly, an incredibly unremarkable TV show whose fans made me hate it. Well, there you go.
Jeez.
Welcome to the dark world of differing opinions, everybody. I love Firefly, and you can't take that away from me.
Now I get all the old ELR jokes that you made back.
Oh,
in the
right.
Day.
Yeah, that would have been.
Put it in the stuff.
Take my thing. Put it in the stuff. Yeah. That's awesome. Well, Daryl, welcome to the program. It's a fantastic show, and you should watch that again. I've rewatched that show I don't know how many times, plus the movie's great. It's good.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure I will.
All right. Well, it's Daryl Skeels, everybody, the Trek Nerd on Twitter. You can also find him at This Week in Trek at thisweekintrek.com. And get all your Star Trek on. Daryl, thanks for talking to us. We'll talk to you later.
Go.
All right.
Go.
He's out of there. That's Daryl on his way out. And here is us on our way out. We are also done. Mwahaha. Oh, you know what? We have a mashup, I'll bet. I forgot to check.
Oh, yeah. Monday mashups.
Forgot to look. There's always one in here. Let's see. Oh, yes. I think. Okay, real quick here, he has proof that I did 6 tacos in the parking lot, not 5. Okay?
Right.
Now, it's actually what I remember, but in my head, well, anyway, I'll play it, and then you guys can see whether I was right or not. Here you go. I ate 6 tacos in a parking lot yesterday. Can I have a steak soft taco and 5 regular soft tacos? That was it. So that's what I ate.
Wow. Yeah. So it's funny, but your memory is triggered to the 5 regular soft tacos, and that steak soft taco just felt like a little outlier. Like it was a little, you know, separated from the herd.
A vestigial taco is what we call it.
Right. Vestigial. A superfluous taco.
There you go. All right. How about this one? Oh, we found the Game of Thrones theme. Sorry, here it is.
Watch the throne!
Watch, here's the theme song.
One song only.
It's the worst thing. It's the worst thing.
Right.
It's so bad. Why is that? Ugh. Anyway, there's that. And then, I don't know what this is. Fletcher doing something. Okay, all right, that's cool. All right, now here's a legit Monday morning mashup. It's called Hippity Hoppity, and it goes a little something like this.
Hey, broken tooth on his brownie.
I wanted to just go kick him in those little tiny shriveled up nuts. Just bam, 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 3 or 4 times with my foot.
Hey, I hate 3D. Things flying at me.
Hate it. Snorting ants and licking piss. Sanella
Kamenchuk.
Kamenchuk.
I'm going to get 2 hookers and make a sandwich mayor sandwich.
Howdy-ho, neighbors.
I don't understand it. It must be horrible.
Has anyone seen Agent Penis? But if you come in with all dicks blazing, F off.
Quad stretch practice good.
It's huge and long.
Carrie Pacqua Gormonda.
That thing that's in my mouth mouth is too hard. You know, Beastie Boys, whatever.
Your rap isn't like it used to be in the old days, Scott. Lil Wayne, what the hell is that? Throw on some Cool Moe D. And I'm all over it. Grandmaster Flash. Now that's where my money went.
Set fire to our buttholes. The Tiki Wakatiti Time Bandits TV show coming to Apple's
Taika
service.
Taika Waititi.
Talk about Wakatiti.
Taika.
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 Y-A-T-D.
Really not hard.
All right, now take your shirt off.
Yep, take off your shirt. Turn it off, yo.
Where do we go now?
Where do we go now? Taika Waititi.
Y-T-T.
Yeah. I have too much fun with it to change. I'm not going to change.
When you meet Taika, you can show him your dick of cards.
Oh my gosh. I can't believe he did that. It's so funny that he said that.
We went to the well of old man voice a lot last week.
Yeah, more than usual.
Yeah.
I have no regrets. It's fine.
No, we're getting older. It's getting easier for us to make that voice.
Yeah, the voice is coming more natural, weirdly. All right, we're going to take a leave. We're going to take our leave. Tomorrow is a new day. No Justin, but we will have Bill. Justin is in Italy, Italy.
Yes, Italia.
He seems to be there with a bunch of people. I thought it was just him and his wife going, but I think he's traveling with somebody.
Well, maybe they just have fans in every country.
So, well, no, they're like, I saw Father Balasar from Twit there with him. I don't know.
So he's got his entourage. All right, cool.
Something's going on there. I don't know. But anyway, we won't have him. He's busy. So that's tomorrow. We will have Skim today. So today at 11:30 is the new time because I need the extra time to post the show. We were trying for 11, but it was always a mad dash and it sucked and it made it late. So we're just going to start at 11:30. Give me a little buffer and that'll be today right after things here on TMS. So stick around for that if you want to or come back at 11:30. That'll be live. Also, the Boop Show at 3:30. You got any programming notes for today?
Ozzy Osbourne's Soundography is going to be posted today. Hammond and I listened to the entirety of Ozzy's solo career, and we have some things to say about that.
Wow.
So that's going up today.
That sounds awesome. Yeah. Oh, wait. Sorry, just someone in the chat says the Padre lives in Vatican City now. He's assigned to the Vatican. Really?
Oh.
That's cool. I had no idea. I don't watch Twit stuff, so I didn't follow any of that. Is he not doing Twit stuff anymore? Is he just doing it remote? That's interesting.
I don't know.
He's an interesting guy. He was always cool. Oh, and wait, does Justin get to meet the Pope? That would be so good.
How awesome would that be? Oh yeah.
I want him to meet the Pope so bad. He needs to do it in like his stupid
Charizard onesie,
yeah. that's crazy. All right, yeah, I didn't know awesome. The Padre left Twit. I had no idea. That's interesting. Okay, anyway, so watch for all this stuff coming today to your podcast players and your live streaming eyeballs. What else? That's it, Brian. Patreon.com/TMS is our support thing. Go there. We need it. Patreon.com/TMS. You can come under the wire here, folks, at the end of the month. And support your favorite podcast. That's right, The Morning Stream at patreon.com/TMS. And for everything else, frogpants.com/TMS. Okay, play a song. What do you got?
That's right. And don't forget our tea. You can get the tea. So,
The tea level's awesome.
Join now. Support us now and get the next box of tea for June. Good June tea.
The tea is the best.
All right, Bagheera wrote in, Brian Demson. Bagheera wrote in, said, my wife and I are headed to Vegas for the first time since 2001. We're celebrating our 15th wedding anniversary. Hard to believe we've made it 15 years without her poisoning my food. Speaking of which, can you recommend a reasonably priced place to eat for anniversary night? Thanks, guys. Signed, Bagheera. You almost can't go wrong with any restaurant at the Cosmo. But Cina Poblano is far and away my favorite, and actually might even be my favorite restaurant in Vegas. I'd say take her there and do the Jose Andreas around the world prefix, which is basically 20 courses. You get to try everything in small plate versions that they make there, including their 25 ingredient fried rice, which is amazing. So
sounds really good.
God, I'm craving that place right now, as a matter of fact. Mm. Oh, that sounds so good. Mm. His request is either a cover of Foo Fighters' Walking After You or U2's All I Want Is You. Let's go with the former. Great cover here of Walking After You. One of the sweet unsung songs by Foo Fighters. It's really, really good. Scala and Kolachny Brothers, well, it's sung because he sings it, but it's like a forgotten deep cut. How's that? Scala and Kolachny Brothers do a great choir version of this on their album Dream On from 2004. Here are Foo Fighters' Walking After You by Scala and Kolachny Brothers.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
I'd be getting some quality scrunch.